Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Lord, we praise you and we worship you and we glorify you in the name of Jesus. I want to preach to you today on the subject, what happens when we pray? James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You may be seated. There is so much packed into these few words, the last sentence of this verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I come to you not as a politician or even ecclesiastical leader, as a local pastor to talk about the state of faith, to talk about the state of freedom, to talk about the state of the church. Freedom is under attack. Independence is being threatened every day of our life. When perversion becomes the law of the land, the civil rights of the unborn and the newly born are being murdered, we are in trouble as a nation. America has been drifting for years. It's no longer drifting. Now it is in a free fall away from God and God's word. It's what the Bible refers to as the great falling away. What we can and cannot say in this pulpit is now being called into question, calling the Bible scriptures hate speech. Freedom of speech was prevalent in the 60s and the 70s to protect the pornographers, but now it is being denied to protect the preachers that would declare the whole counsel of God and decry perversion that comes directly in opposition to the Word of God. This nation is in trouble. Even as our Canadian neighbors are passing laws censoring the freedom of religious liberties and freedom of speech and saying preachers cannot use certain verses or they will be punished by imprisonment, that happens in Canada and it is now encroaching in America. The preaching of the true gospel is in short supply while we overdose on the pablum of prosperity. The ballot box is an effective weapon. Every one of us should go to the ballot box at every election and vote not what is happy to us and what is acceptable to us, but vote what the Bible says. You might vote for those things that give you short-term relief, but if you will vote the Bible, I promise you, it will give you long-term blessing. So the ballot box is an effective weapon, but it's not our most effective weapon. Our most effective weapon is prayer. America is in trouble not because of the White House or the State House or the schoolhouse. America is in trouble because of the church house, because we remain silent while Madeleine Murray O'Hare removed prayer from our school. We simply sat because we were enjoying prosperity. Prosperity becomes our God, and we don't thing to disrupt our personal prosperity. And so the church was silent when the laws were passed to take prayer from our school. You can pray in prison, but you can't pray in school. There's something wrong with that scenario. We remain silent while they passed the laws that made abortion the law of the land. We were silent, and we are still silent. The Church of the Living God is the culprit in the loss of freedom and independence. We must rise up. There has to be not one but a number of people like Martin Luther King will stand up for the civil rights of the Christians and the civil rights of the church. For God himself told us it was not the ballot box, but it was prayer that would bring supernatural intervention to this world. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Prayer is our greatest and most potent weapon, and we must return to becoming a people of prayer, not people that simply bow their head to mumble a gratitude over their meal, but people that intercede for hours and days and months and years, not only in the prayer rooms and the altars of our church, but in the confinement of our own home. Prayer is our greatest and most potent weapon. But it's not the prayers of the sinner. Remember, he said, if my people, not a strange people, not a foreigner, not a people that kind of believe, but my people, which are called by my name. That means God's church that are called by the name of Jesus Christ. We are the people that are to bring freedom to the world, because only Christ can bring true freedom. As we still enjoy this fledgling freedom in America, all across the world, people have lost their freedoms. They're punished for things that we take as normal and natural. It's time that the Church of the Living God wore blisters on their knees from the prayer that God said we have to have. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not the prayers of a sinner, but the prayers of a righteous man. First, let's look at the word availeth. It's benignly deceptive in this context. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This word availeth doesn't seem too powerful, but it's potent. It means accomplishes. It accomplishes much. It triggers much. It releases much. It explodes like a volcano explodes. That's what that word means when it says availeth. The answer to the question, what happens when we pray, unfortunately, is not always what we want it to be. It's not always the explosive response we desire. The truth is, when most people pray, nothing happens, for they're not His people and they're not called by His name. They're simply people that make God into a Santa Claus, not a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, not a creator, not a savior, not a Lord, not a baptizer, not a companion, but simply a Santa Claus that rushes in at dire moments of their life, and they think that prayer somehow rocks heaven. The truth is, when most people pray, nothing happens, for they're not praying in the name of Jesus. They're not His people, and they're not righteous people. For the truth is, you are righteous altogether or not righteous at all. Righteousness is exactly like pregnancy. You're not a little bit pregnant. You either are or you ain't. You're either righteous or you're not. So you're not righteous by the things that you have accomplished and said and done. You're righteous for one reason, and that is because you're covered from the top of your head to the sole of your feet with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And anyone that has not acknowledged Christ as their Savior and caused Him to come into their heart is not righteous. They're not a saint of the living God, and so they lack the ability to rock heaven with their prayers. I preach to a unique crowd today. Most of the people within the sound of my voice are righteous people. You are people that have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're heaven bound, not because of your behavior, but because of your birth. You've been born again. You've been washed in the blood. You've been inoculated against sin by the glorious shed blood of Christ, and you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That makes you a unique person and a unique group in a crowd of people that no longer acknowledge God. But it also enhances you with the responsibility that you pray like no other people pray. Because the nation, the welfare, the future of this nation hangs in the balance, not of the unsaved, but it hangs in the balance and responsibility of we which sit in pews like this all across America that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. One reason the Bible declares that God has no obligation or maybe even propensity to hear a sinner's prayer. The Bible declares that He does not hear the prayer of a sinner except for salvation. However, effectual prayer changes the world, and so it falls upon our shoulders with great responsibility that we become great soldiers, not of fortune, not to those that can pay us the most at the moment, but we become soldiers of the kingdom of God that endure hardness, and that we will pray until God can roll back the scroll of heaven and right the wrongs of this world and cause liberty and justice and freedom to be available to all men. Prayers that get answers. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. The second key word after availeth is, the key word is righteous. I don't have time here to digress to a study in the righteousness of the believer. It has to suffice to hope that most here understand that revelation, that you're righteous because you are a believer in Christ. In Romans 4:3, a powerful verse, but what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Your faith in God, that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, declares whether you are righteous or unrighteous. The third great word is fervent. The prayer, the fervent prayer, the fervent prayer. That does not mean the benign prayer of those that are able to quote a few words out of a prayer book. But it means the impassioned plea, tears on their cheeks, groanings that cannot be understood, fiery, consuming, passionate, paramount prayer that realize the life and death of their children are in their prayers, that realize the history and the future of this nation relies on your prayer, that tears are not something that summons, but something that break forth without control. You cry because you realize this nation is in trouble with God, and every day it's moving farther and farther away, and the only thing that can stop that erosion is the Church of the Living God. We must rise up. Rise up not at a ballot box only, but rise up in prayer until the supernatural sickle of God cuts a swath of harvest through this generation like none we have ever seen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not how well you sing. It's not how well I preach. It's how great we pray. Are we fervent in our prayer? That is the thrust of prayer, the atmosphere from which real prayer springs. It means that we really do care. We care that our neighbors are going to hell. We care that churches are filled with people that are not saved, that are being filled prosperity pabulum every Sunday and never told to repent, to convert, or transform. Never told that they must be born again. We need a prayer revival in America like we have never seen. That leads us to such a time in the Scripture that there was a man, a righteous man by the name of Daniel, fervently praying his effectual prayer for the protection and deliverance of his dear Israel. We need a Daniel spirit, someone that fears not the lion that roars, but someone that says, I will open my window toward heaven and I will pray. We need people that have an open window toward spiritual Jerusalem. The Bible said Daniel prayed, and this was God's voice to him. This he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thy heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. I'm come for thy words. But the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. David prayed, Daniel prayed, and when Daniel prayed, nothing seemed to happen. But God's thunderous voice spoke to him and said, Daniel, I heard you when you prayed. In fact, I came for your words. Your very words were pliable and powerful to me. They shaped what I was going to do on earth. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus instructed us to pray that God's kingdom would be done and His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Evidently, the will of God's being done on earth depends on whether we will pray or not. It's not that we can just sit in the bleachers and sit in the grounds and wish that something would happen on the field. We have to be players and participants in this. We have to pray. Pray like we have never prayed before. Daniel did that. Nothing happened. But God said, I heard you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are righteous, if you are fervent, if you are effectual, your prayers will make a difference in your church, in your family, in your house, in your school, in your state, in your nation. It will make a difference. But we must become people of real prayer, Holy Ghost prayer, praying in the Spirit of God. One of the reasons why God gives you the Holy Ghost is not just to seal your salvation, but to give you the ability to pray in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And so the Bible said of Daniel, he was fearless. We cannot be fearless of the laws that are being passed that threaten our ability to preach and our ability to gather in the name of Jesus Christ. We must be a fearless people. We must stand proud and declare that only Christ is Lord and there is none beside him. That sin and things that are against the Word of God are still wrong. That what was perversion 50 years ago or 500 years ago is still perversion today. And we cannot let them take our voice away. We cannot let the American pulpit be silenced. We must be people of prayer, and that prayer will produce an atmosphere of boldness and fearlessness that we will declare the whole counsel of God. Second, God said, I saw that you were fearless, Daniel. And secondly, I saw that you set your heart. We must have a heart set not on cars and clothes and houses and money. We must have a heart that is set on the things of the kingdom. Set your affection on things above. Set your heart on revival. The very desire of my heart is to see buildings packed, not with people that are being patted on their head, but people that are being converted to true Christianity. Somebody asked me the other day, what difference do you see after 50 years of preaching? I said, the lack of transformation. When people get saved today, their lives seem to be unchanged. When they were saved 50 years ago, they were changed. Everybody they knew, worked with, knew they had changed. Their family knew they had changed. Everybody in town knew they had changed. There was a transformation. We need a revival of God's power, God's conviction, God's spirit. The Holy Ghost needs to fall like rain until people change their lives, until they lay their sin down, until they declare the whole counsel of God, until they set their heart on things that are above. Number three, he said, Daniel, I saw you chastened yourself, or you prepared yourself for something to be taken in place in your life. When you pray, prepare yourself. Something is going to happen. No preparation in your prayer, no faith in your prayer. When you pray, prepare. Heaven is going to answer. Something's going to happen. A change is going to take place. God is going to radically interrupt the pattern that is there. Something is going to happen. And so God said, I heard you. And so I saw you, that you were fearless, that you set your heart, that you chastened yourself, that you prepared yourself. And he said, I heard your words. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to God, it's not just to bemoan. It's not to complain. It is to take the word that you desire. Take words with you and turn to God, the prophet said. Take words with you and frame your future. This is what I desire, God. This is what is your will, God. This is what I expect, God. And I will settle for nothing less than this, God. I will frame my world with my words, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews. And the last thing the Bible said, the first day that you pray, God said, I heard your words. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to have faith that you are a righteous person, that you are in effectual prayer, and you are talking to God. And when you talk to God, God reaches down and scoops up your words. The Bible said of one man, his words fell to the earth, but not you. You're righteous, you're holy, you're a believer, you're a tongue talker, you're a spirit baptized son of the living God. You live for God every day of your life. You praise his name above all. Your affections are things above. When you pray, the very first words out of your mouth causes something to happen in heaven. Heaven stands at attention when you pray, because you are the righteous of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Your words are going to have an effect in heaven. Your words are going to have an effect on earth. Your words are going to have an effect on hell. When you pray, God hears your words, and you need to have faith to that and say, God is going to do something in my life. God is going to do something in my world. What happens when we pray? When we pray, Satan does not fold his tent and go home. Satan does not quit, and Satan does not stop. He doesn't simply give up when we pray. God said, for 21 days, Daniel, after I'd taken your words, Satan, the king of Persia, withstood me for 21 days. And then he said, something happened. Michael, the archangel, got involved. Here is the kicker in the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. What we do after we pray is just as important as what we do when we pray. When you get up from the altar of prayer where you have effectually prayed as a righteous man or woman, and you have bombarded heaven and God Himself has reached down and picked up your words, when you leave that altar, something has to happen. Michael the archangel, remember in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it talks about angels and it puts them in their place. It says angels are simply ministering spirits to those that are the heirs of salvation. Who are the angels? Michael, Gabriel, and thousands of others. Who are the heirs of salvation? Gloria and Warren and Michael and me and Pastor Brandon and people sitting over this building. We are the heirs of salvation. And so suddenly those ministering spirits become, as one translation said, the errand runners of the saints of God. After you have prayed that powerful prayer, what happens when the saints, when the righteous pray? This is what happens. We get up and we declare for all the worlds, heaven, earth, and hell, to know that we have prayed and things have been put into action. Things are now in process and things are going to begin to change. And suddenly angels are not standing by the gate waiting. They are busily taking care of the task that we have set forth with our prayers. Suddenly they're doing what God has sent them to do through our prayers. And the Bible tells us about that. And when you understand that, it gives a tremendous revelation to the 149th Psalm. Because that's a psalm of praise. Let me tell you that praise is nothing but prayer on steroids. It is simply saying, what I have prayed is now going to come to pass. And because of what I have prayed, and because God has gathered my words, now let me begin to praise as if it had already happened. Because time means nothing to God. And in the mind of God, it's already happened. Like the lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, my prayers have already been answered in the mind of God. There might be a king of Persia. There might be a demon spirit that has come, and for a few days he will intercede and cause it not to come to pass. But if I will get up off of my knees and stand up on my feet and begin to praise God, it will release what God wants to do. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let me tell you, after you have prayed, the greatest thing you can do is dance in celebration. It's always wonderful to see a team that wins a sporting event, how they celebrate in the end zone or in the locker room because they have been successful. When you have prayed the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it's time for you to do your dance. It's time for you to celebrate. It's time for you to glorify the God that is good. He said, praise His name in the dance. Sing praises to Him with the timbrel and the harp. This is what happens after you pray. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their bread. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Speak it out. Speak it out. This is going to come to pass. My daughter is going to be saved. My son is going to be healed. I'm going to get the job. I'm going to win that person to Christ. I'm going to have a ministry. I'm going to obtain my home. That's what you do after you've prayed the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. But that's what happens on earth. What happens on earth, you become a praise station. You become a manifestation of the joy of the Lord. You become what the Bible said, a shower forth of the praise of God. All of earth sees that. But what happens in the underworld? The Bible said in hell, among the demons, when you praise God after you have prayed the effectual fervent prayer, you execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the demons or his people. When you begin to praise God, what happens? The word of God leaps from the Bible. It goes down to the very depths of hell itself. And some demon that is getting ready to put cancer on somebody is suddenly thwarted. The word of God takes effect, and there is a vengeance of God upon him because God's people have prayed the prayer and praised the praise. You bind their kings with chains. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that you are the greatest force on earth next to God there is? You're greater than demons. You're greater than angels because you have been washed in his blood, baptized in his name, filled with his spirit. And now God has clothed you with his righteousness. Let the righteous stand up and say, yea, we are the people of God, and we will not allow Satan to take this planet. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. And now here comes the word of my testimony. I am an overcomer. I am able to bring to punishment upon the demon spirits that would destroy this nation. Can you praise God in this house today? We praise you, God. We praise you, God, because the battle is not lost, because the people of God are still here. There's a wonderful verse that says, as long as he is here that letteth, will not let. That's talking about the body of Christ. We simply will not let it happen. We won't let this nation go to hell without God. We won't let our kids go to hell without God. We won't let this nation face the judgment without revival. We won't let it happen. We're holding back the night, and we are people of prayer, supernatural prayer. When we pray, demons tremble. When we pray, demons flee. When we pray, demons are brought in chains and shackles. We have the power to change our church, our home, our state, our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I beg of you, I beseech you that you use your authority, that you use your power, that you let your talent not go unused. This is our finest day. This is our greatest hour. We've come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. If you can sing, sing the Lord's song. If you can dance, dance the Lord's dance. But above all, pray the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Give God some praise. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor hath all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. It is an honor that you have the authority to execute the judgment written, or God's plan for this earth. God's got a plan for this earth, ladies and gentlemen. It's a excuse you hear time and time again, particularly in basketball. When Coach Pop loses a game, which he's in the habit of doing quite regularly these days without his superstars. But when they interview, well, they just didn't execute. We had a plan, but they didn't execute. Hey, God's got a plan. God's plan is the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. God's plan is that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. God's plan is that Satan will be brought to naught and God's supremacy will reign. That's God's plan. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not to the coach on the bench. It's to the players on the floor. That's to you and me. He said, it is an honor that you have the ability to execute the judgment that is written. God's plan has been given to us in the Bible. It's not a plan of defeat. It's a plan of victory. It's not a plan of falling away. It's a plan of harvest. It's not a plan of losing your kids. It's a plan of gathering your children. It's not a plan of poverty. It's a plan of being blessed from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. But in order for that to happen, we have to become people of prayer and intercession. We can't let the devil do what he wants to do. For the power to chain up demons is in the power of our effectual, fervent prayer. And the power to release angels to go about this earth. I submit to you today, ladies and gentlemen, that have loved ones that are not saved, you have the authority to get into prayer and to take those demons that are dragging them to hell, whether it be lust, or demons of alcohol, or drugs, or money, or lovers of play, whatever it is, you can drag those demons out of that house and away from your family and your friends and your loved ones, and you can replace them with an angel of salvation. You've got that kind of authority, but not until you learn the power of an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. It's time we rise up and declare who we are. It's time we declare our authority. It's time we declare the name above every name. It's time we declare that the Holy Ghost is the greatest spirit on this earth, that the Christ that we serve is overpowered to the Antichrist. We will not sit down and be consumed. Why sit we here till we die? We will rise up in prayer. We will rise up in praise, and we will make a difference in our world. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a power for praise today in Jesus' name. I love this great nation, but I am concerned on this 4th of July in 2021 with the darkness I see enveloping it. I can see simply sit by and wait for the rapture, or I can rise up and do something. And God is telling me to rise up and do something. You say, well, you don't have a national platform. No, but I've got a universal God. And I have His ear. And I can get on my knees. And I can pray until heaven reaches down and works on this planet. And I intend to do that. And I want to urge you. I want to declare a clarion call today to Living Way Church. That we become a people of supernatural, effectual prayers that have effect, fervent prayers of a righteous people. Are you really righteous? Are you really saved? Do you really care? Well, the proof is in the pudding. If we are really saved and we really care, we will not sit in the stands. We will get involved in the real battle. We will say, I will not let my family go to hell. It's appalling that we can have so much joy while our family is suffering so much sin. We need to intercede. We need to become the catalyst. We need to become the difference maker. We need to become the power between them and hell. Roll up your sleeve. Reach in with your arm and pluck the brand from the burning. Only you can do that. And you can do that with the power of your prayer. And the power of your prayer has to be based on the confidence of who you are. The devil's biggest lie is you don't matter. You've got to have confidence in who you are. That you are the apple of God's eye. That He knows you by name. And when you open your mouth to pray, God says in heaven, shh, He's praying. And He said, when you said your first words, I come down to get them. There's some people in this building that have that kind of an audience with God. That when you pray, God gathers your words. And so we cannot fail to pray. Hallelujah. If you're in this room today and you need God, you're not saved, you'd like to give your life to Christ, you'd like to be baptized in Jesus' name, you'd like to be filled with His Holy Spirit, covered with His blood and repentance, and you'd like to walk down this aisle right now and say, in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, we are in a real predicament in the church. Social media has done it and a lot of other factors. But people desire ministries today. They desire ministries of prestige. One guy wrote the other day, I saw, and he said, we've developed a generation that can have good church without God. I'm afraid he's right. We've got so many talented people, so many talented orators, so many talented singers, so many talented musicians. Good church without God. Another said, we no longer worship God, but we worship. We worship praise. We worship music. We forgot all that is just a method to get to God. If you're in this room right now and you don't know Jesus Christ, I challenge you to walk down this aisle and give your life to Christ. My second challenge is, there's going to be three of them. My second challenge is, if you've been praying for a ministry of song or pulpiteering or something like that, would you reassess your prayer and say, God, give me the ministry of an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person. And acknowledge that by walking out of your chair and coming to this altar right now and declaring, today I've been called into the ministry, and it's the ministry of prayer. Would you do that if God is speaking to your heart? And thirdly, if you're saved and you know you're saved, but you've got particularly family, parents, children, spouses that are not saved, would you simply walk out of your pew and say, I'm coming today to make a commitment that I'm going to pray the effectual prayer for my family. Hey, for those of you who don't want to come, it's too far to walk and too much trouble, we've got one.